We're turning in the Word of God tonight to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 12. And Dr. John Douglas preaching this morning in our congregation at the Harvest. And I was just reminding him of a sermon that he preached many, many years ago. I think it's over 30 years ago when the ministers and the students used to come down to mourn for the minister's week of prayer. And it was on that lovely text in Psalm 86 and verse 17, show me a token for good. And I know that I was so blessed and challenged by it way back then that I decided that I would seek to pray over it every day. And I've been doing that ever since. And when the Lord showed a token for good, then we would write it down. So we kept a little slip of paper in the front of the Bible. And whenever the Lord just stepped in and showed a token for good, we were able to write it down. Because we're apt to forget. We're apt to forget the goodness of God and the mercies of God. And we've been singing here about the many blessings that He gives to us. And so at the end of every year, we're able to look back over the 12 months. We usually do it at our watch night service and recall all that God has done in a given year. If I didn't write it down, I'd forget about it. Don't know whether you can remember what happened in January or February, March of even this year. So we do forget. But when you have it there, you're able to see what God hath done. I preached in that text last Lord's Day because in the month of September, the Lord just came down and gave us many tokens for good. A little bit of outreach. And I'm telling this tonight for your encouragement because what God does anywhere He can do for each one of our congregations, a little bit of outreach done for the Sunday school work. And that first Lord's Day of September, there were 17 new children who came. The following Lord's Day, there was another 6 new children. The following Lord's Day, 3. The next, another 5. And then 1 or 5 Sundays in the month of September. And that was a real blessing. We haven't seen that for a long, long time. Maybe never 32 new children in a given month. On the first Lord's Day of September, we had the joy of sending 5 young people to serve the Lord. At the morning service, we had special prayer for David and Rachel Macaulay, who are now in Kenya serving the Lord for a short-term period for 3 months. And if you get the correspondence from the mission board, you will have seen that they're enjoying it and the Lord's blessing them, and there's been good encouragement. And then at the evening service, we had the joy of sending 3 of our students, I was going to say back, 2 of them back to the college and 1 for the first time. Josh going into his final year and Alex going into 3rd year. And then young Johnny Story starting the Whitfield College for his first year of studies. Young child was saved in the Sunday school as well, and that was a token for good. And then we had a mission in the high school. The principal and the board of governors were very happy to allow us to use Ballymoney High School for the mission. And we have to say that the Lord exceeded our expectations for that mission. I had said to the caretaker on the Saturday, now, come the Lord's Day, put out 200 seats. And, well, through the week, maybe 100 or 120 seats would be sufficient. So the first Lord's Day came, and they had to bring in another 70 seats. When I arrived on the Monday night, he had 160 seats sitting out. So I looked at him, and I say this to my shame, because I don't think he was a believer. I said, your faith is greater than mine. But we needed all the seats, and that continued through the whole mission. When we had our prayer times, usually at an outreach mission, you might get 15 or 20 people coming along to pray before the services. But we were astounded at the many who came to seek the Lord. And at least on 2 occasions, there were 50 plus who came to pray for the blessing of God, to attend the preaching of the word. And when we had our outreach, that first Monday night of outreach, over 40 people came. And again, we never remember that happening before. So these were tokens for good. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And the Lord will send the showers. There shall be showers of blessing. I think I heard that hymn being sung tonight here before the service. This is the promise of God. And every time you sing that line, and it's in every verse of that hymn, you are singing the scripture, there shall be showers of blessing from the book of Ezekiel. and the prophetic word. We long for such days to come again. We want these kind of things to be multiplied over and over again in our congregations and all of our churches. And the Lord is able. He's able to do these things. He's able to do much more because He is the God of the exceeding abundant. May the Lord help us to be faithful and to walk humbly with God and to look to Him for His blessing. Now, I want to read some verses from this chapter of the Word of God this evening, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and we will begin to read at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy... But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ending the reading there at verse 21, we trust that the Lord will bless his word to every heart. Let's bow together for a moment's prayer and just seek the Lord afresh as we come to the scriptures tonight. Is in Antrim this evening, and we trust that the Lord will bless them there. They're having special meetings this weekend. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for all that has gone before. We thank Thee for the hymns that we've sung together, reminding us of the goodness of God and His blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Thank Thee for the ministry and song also, and the challenge of it. Thank Thee for Your Word that we've read together, the Scriptures that are powerful. We thank Thee that when we come to the Bible, we're coming to the words that God has given. Therefore, we come with confidence. We come with authority. We're not coming to read or present something that is man-made, but something that is God-given. We praise Thee that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. We want to profit from the Word tonight. We want the Lord to come by and speak to us, sit with the congregation, minister to us by the Holy Spirit. And so we seek Your blessing upon the preaching of the gospel tonight. Do remember the minister of this congregation and his wife and family. And as he ministers in Antrim this evening, may the blessing of God attend the preached word. We pray that Thou will come down there too and send blessing. Remember the minister of Antrim. Remember him for good. We pray that Your hand will be upon him even in these days when he hasn't been well. Remember Paul Hannah that should have been here this evening. Lord, You know his case and his illness, and we commend him to the grace of God that Thou will be with him. Hear and answer our prayers now in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I look at this story tonight that we've read, and I am compelled to recall the words of Christ, the question that the Savior asked. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I read this story and I'm forced to remember the rich man of Luke 16. Our Savior tells of a man who accumulated quite a lot of this world's wealth, pleasure, prosperity, and position. Undoubtedly, he had friends, he had status, he had a mansion to live in. He had servants, he had money, the best of everything, but he went to hell. I gaze into this passage and I call to mind the rich young ruler
that met Christ in Matthew chapter 19, who came seeking the Lord, came searching with a burden in his heart, for he wanted to know the way of everlasting life. But more than likely, he died in his sin and was lost forever. Jesus Christ sets before the hearers of his day a very powerful and pointed story of a rich farmer who prospered in this life. His land yielded a bumper harvest that year, and he became a very, very wealthy man in a short space of time. He made enough money to do him for many years. He could take early retirement. Many people would like to take early retirement. This man could have. He was the envy, undoubtedly, of the farming community. But there was a great problem with all this accumulation. He forgot about God. He set his heart upon riches, and he could see no further than his present prosperity. And so he decided to live it up, and he pushed God out of his life to his eternal cost. The very day that he prospered, the very day that he decided to make merry, the very day that he set his sights upon worldly enjoyment and merriment, was the day that God said, "Your time is up. Tonight, you're going to die." This man got a little taste of the world's wealth and fortune, but he was cut off from the land of the living, and he was lost forever. The story is a very challenging illustration of all those who live for the world and live for self and time and earthly things, and they forget about their souls until it's too late. This rich man represents sinners throughout Northern Ireland, and very possibly sinners that are in this meeting tonight who refuse to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember, Jesus asks the question, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is there in the world's wealth if you die in your sin and you go to hell? What profit is there in the world's pleasures if you die without the Savior and are lost forever? Or in the world's possessions or friendships or the world's lusts or positions? Because nothing is more important than the salvation of your soul. To know that you are in Christ, to know that it is well with you, to make sure beyond all shadow of a doubt that you're saved by the grace of God and that you're going to heaven. Doesn't matter how wealthy you become. Doesn't matter how great your bank balance increases. Doesn't matter what worldly possessions and carnal enjoyments may be your experience, or what positions that you attain in this life, or what popularity and fame you achieve. If at the end of the journey you die in your sin without a Savior and are lost forever, I believe there's a message for us at this harvest meeting tonight, a pointed message from the Lord. And I want you to look at a great harvest, but a tragic loss. Look at verse 16 and notice the prosperity he enjoyed. This rich man enjoyed tremendous prosperity. And we read about it here in the words of the Savior as he speaks this parable, this story to the people of his day. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully," or in abundance, or beyond expectation. And so we can say he was blessed. He owned acres of fruitful fields which brought forth bountifully. He received an unbelievable crop that season. Many a farmer would be envious of such a yield. Every harvest time, farmers are always looking for this kind of accumulation. Now, never forget that prosperity, increase, wealth, and riches are God-given. When we're blessed in such ways in this life, it is the Lord that has not only permitted these things, but given to us these things. And in particular, fruitfulness at the harvest time. It's a blessing from heaven. One of the blessings promised to Israel in the ancient times was the blessing of the harvest. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 23, we have this promise given to Israel. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. And you want to mark those words, then shall he give. It's something that God Almighty bestows. It's a blessing from the Lord. It is God who blesses the seed, and he blesses the ground, and he gives the reaping time. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. And when this man's ground brought forth plentifully, we have to say that God did it. David reminds us that both riches and honor come from thee, come from the Lord. And I have to say also that God has blessed you tonight. You enjoy good things from the hand of God. Think of the Psalm 145 and verse 9 that says that the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works, and that is so. Whether you're saved or not in this meeting, a child of God or not, we have to say that God is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. And you want to think about those things that he has provided for you, those things that he's given to you. You enjoy fairly good health, health enough to be in this service tonight. We remind ourselves that in him we live and move and have our being. It is God that gives us our health. Others have fallen ill, some very seriously, but you have been preserved. It's a blessing from the Lord. And we're still alive. Thousands have fallen around us, but we have been preserved. In God is the breath of life. We think of the accidents that take place on a weekly basis. We think of the tragedies that happen, the sudden calls into eternity. And yet every day up until this point in your life, his hand of protection has been upon you. It's a blessing from the Lord. Your needs have been supplied. You have a home to live in. Many of you have jobs tonight that are blessings. You have food to enjoy. You have nice things in this life. And of course, more than anything, you have the gospel. And what a blessing that is. God has prospered this little land of ours with the wonderful message of his word and gospel preaching. Most of you, I'm sure, were born in Ulster. Many of you were born into Christian families, and that is a tremendous blessing. And we have a gospel-preaching church. When you come to the Free Church, you will be certain to hear the message of Christ, that he is the Savior of men, and he will be presented to our congregations every Lord's Day as the only Savior, the one who was able to redeem from sin. And God has given you countless opportunities. The Holy Spirit has spoken many times, and you have sensed that gracious call within your heart and within your life. Never despise the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. This man was blessed of God. He prospered greatly. But then notice verse 17 through to verse 19. The carnality he followed. And as we read these verses again, you want to mark the personal pronouns that the Lord uses here. This man is speaking, and he's speaking about I and my. I think there's something like 11 of them in these few words. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want to try and understand what's happening here in this man's life, the prosperity of God upon him, the blessings that he's enjoyed now at the harvest time, all this accumulation that has come his way, and how that he's seeking now and purposing to pull down the old barns and build greater. Now, the Bible tells us the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You want to think about that. When God is good and he has bestowed any blessing upon you, that goodness, the Bible says, ought to lead you to repentance, to turn in faith to Christ, turning away from your sin. But not this man. God allowed him to prosper, but God was not in his thoughts. He didn't say when his land brought forth plentifully, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. He didn't say, this is the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in my eyes. Nor did he purpose to give his tithes and his offerings to the Lord. No, he decided to live it up. He says, they are mine. I'll put them into a great barn. They'll do me for many years to come. And then he speaks to himself. He speaks to his soul. And he says, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. What was he doing? He was presuming upon the goodness of God. He had no thought of the Lord. No thought about his sin. No thought of repentance. No thought of his soul. He had no thought of salvation. No thought of death or eternity or the afterlife. No thought of heaven or hell. And so God is shut out of his life. I wonder tonight, is there someone in this meeting? And that's what you're doing. You're shutting God out of your life. And you've been doing for many, many years. Will you never learn? How have you reacted to the goodness of God? God has been good to you. Is it leading you to repentance? To turn away from your sin? What have you been doing with his mercies? Sadly for many in Ulster, they're still living for self. And they're shutting God out of their lives. God has been good to them. And they ought to have come. And they ought to have been drawn to him. But no, they've decided to live it up in the carnal pursuits of this life. In the fleeting pleasures of this world, just like this man that the Lord is describing here. Then I want you to look at verse 20. Not only do we have this evening the prosperity that he enjoyed and the carnality that he followed, but this verse tells us about the tragedy he encountered. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You cannot presume upon the goodness of God. In the New Testament, later on in the book of James, the Word of God tells us about businessmen that were presuming upon such goodness that came from the Lord. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, let me read the words with you tonight. Verse 13 to 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas we know not what will be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this. Or that. You see what's happening here? These businessmen, they were going to go into a certain city. They had purposed to buy and sell for a whole year, not even just for a week or a month, but a whole year ahead. And they were going to make money and they were going to get gain. What were they doing? They were presuming upon the goodness of God. They had not thought of death, they had not thought of ill health. They had not thought of business going ill. They had not thought of thieves coming and stealing their wares. None of these things were in their mind. They certainly had no thought of God. They were presuming upon tomorrow and the next tomorrow and the whole year ahead. We're going to buy and sell. And the Lord says, what you ought to say is, if it's God's will, then I will do this and I will do that. I want you to observe the conclusion of the story, therefore, that is related to us here in Luke chapter 12. Because God is speaking. And God is giving the verdict. And God is pronouncing the sentence. And it is God that is executing justice. God calls this man a fool. Only a fool takes heavenly blessings for granted. Only a fool decides to live it up for self and for the world. Only a fool neglects the matter of his soul. Only a fool ignores the mercies of God. Only a fool refuses to consider death and eternity. Only a fool shuts God out of his life. And there's many fools. I'm sure as it is in Ballymoney, there's many fools in Annalong. God speaks about the departure of his soul. That very night, Jesus says, he was going to die. That which was furthest from his mind would overtake him that night. In our possession is a soul. And one day, it must leave our earthly tabernacle. One day that soul will take its flight into the great eternity of God. God speaks about the vanity of riches. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, he'll not take all this wealth with him. He brought nothing into the world. It's certain he would take nothing out of the world. The rich man blessed with prosperity, he says, soul, take thine ease. But God says, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. Tonight your soul is going to depart. Tonight you're going to enter eternity. Tonight you will stand before God. Tonight you will give an account. Tonight you will be lost forever, for that's the reality of it. And my friends, the sad reality is he was going to die and he didn't know it. He rose that morning in the fullness of health and strength, went to the door of his farmyard. He looked out across those acres that he owned and saw the great blessing, the great harvest that God had given to him. He thought about the abundant reaping. He thought about all his riches. He thought about his future of ease and pleasure. And in his heart he whispered, soul, take thine ease. But God says, you are a fool. That night he must die. And what an awful tragedy. What an awful end. What an awful eternity. If I was to summarize this story tonight and this man's life, it would be in three lines. God was good to this man. This man shut God out of his life. And thirdly, God shut this man out forever. And that's the reality of what is happening here. Maybe tonight you've been taking your ease. You've been failing to consider your soul, that immortal soul that is within your body. You've been neglecting salvation, so great salvation. You have taken for granted all the blessings that God has lavished upon you. You have lived for self and for pleasure. Is that true? Right up until now, in your experience, do not continue to walk such a path of foolishness. Do not shut God out of your life. This God that has been good to you and has blessed you in so many ways, and if you were just to sit here tonight in this church for a moment or two and think about all those things that God has given to you, begin to list them in your mind. My, what blessings he has bestowed. And yet you are rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a foolish thing to do. God was good to him. This man shut God out. God shut him out forever. Don't let such things be said of you tonight. that God has been good to you, you shut the Lord out. But then there comes this moment when God shuts you out forever. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, I would plead with you in the name of Jesus to turn to the Savior and find Christ at this harvest time. You know, we do rejoice in the good things that God gives to us in the physical sense. But the greatest harvest is that of the souls of men and those precious sheaves that are garnered into Christ. May you be counted among them tonight and seek the Savior and have the greatest harvest in your life as your soul is brought to Christ in salvation. Let us bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for your word that teaches us, that admonishes us. We want to learn from it. We don't want to turn our ears away from divine truth. We have to acknowledge that God is a good God. He has been gracious to us in so many ways. We think of all the blessings that have come our way, the health that we enjoy, the things that we have in this life that are comforts to us. We thank thee for the greatest blessing of the gospel, a knowledge of God and your precious word that you've given to direct us and to counsel us and to show us the way in which we ought to live, to show us the way to Christ. We thank thee tonight that we're not in ignorance regarding these matters, but thou hast shown us in your word that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that's open that all may go in. And it's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to thee. We pray that young people, older people alike, will not turn away from God's speaking voice, nor turn away from his goodness that ought to lead them to repentance. But Lord, as your mercies have been freely bestowed upon us, help us to rejoice in them. But we pray they will lead us to repentance. Help us not to boast of tomorrow and to presume upon the goodness of God, to be like this man of whom the Lord speaks in his word. Help us, Lord, not to give our lives over completely to the things of time and sense, to the neglect of our souls, but to seek Christ and to know him as our Savior. And so as this meeting comes to an end, we pray that God will speak on. While the voice of the preacher is silent, that the Spirit would continue to work. And for any who know not Christ, may they turn and seek the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.